Okay, let's just jump right in. We're in Philippians chapter 4, and like all good studies of Philippians chapter 4, we'll open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This morning, we're going to talk about giving. Now, I've had a lot of fun in Philippians. I don't know if you have. I don't know if you've had as much fun receiving as I've had in teaching. I've received a lot myself. I've learned a lot. It's one of my favorite books now. I've thoroughly enjoyed this. We're going to sew this up and finish today in the book of Philippians. Now, the thing we're going to talk about in Philippians today is joy through poverty. It shouldn't surprise us. We've found joy in some really places you wouldn't normally think. Now, I want to talk about last week very briefly. I've never done anything like this before. I want to augment. Last week was a little short. We had a call to fall, and so I said some things, and I listened to the tape, and I really don't want to apologize because it'll give you the signal that what I said was wrong, and I feel strongly that it wasn't. But I will say this. I didn't show you the other side of the coin, so to speak. Like, if you're teaching in Ephesians, and you're telling wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, in 2011, you have to say, because the questions always come, what if he's evil? What if he's ungodly? What if he's trying to make me do something either illegal or wicked? What should I do in that situation? So if you're teaching on that, you've got to tell women, okay, that you're not to submit to your wife and to submit to your husband and do something illegal or do something immoral. You have to teach that, okay? So last week I was talking about joy through anxiety. And I said, I think it was almost verbatim, that anxiety is the sin to be repented of, not a sickness to be, you know, healed from or cured of or you know. So I was reading, I was doing some more studying. And I will say this, because I got some pushback from several quarters, and that's okay here. That's definitely okay. I'm not being critical. What about, the question comes, listen, 311 million Americans, 27 million are on some sort of antidepressant meds. It's almost 10%. Now, when you add in Ritalin and stuff like that, they're not really antidepressants, but they regulate your mood. It's well over 10%. Do you think one out of every 10 Americans is chemically impaired? It seems a little high. So even this, there was an article in the CDC. Now, the CDC isn't a Christian group. Center for Disease Control. There was an article saying that doctors are prescribing medication to people who are unhappy and trying to cure them of their unhappiness. Listen, the Center for Disease Control, sorry, that's all I'm saying. Now, am I saying that there's no use for any narcotics, any drugs, any medications in your life? I'm certainly not saying that. I got high blood pressure medication. That's your guy's fault. No, I'm only joking. And I'm not saying that there's no cause for medication. Are there chemical imbalances? Are there hormonal things happening? Are there people being legitimately treated? I'm not a doctor. I would have to say, from my very limited understanding, the answer to that question is yes. So I'm not saying, if you're on a medication, you're sinning, repent. I'm certainly not saying that. I'm saying, like the Center for Disease Control, don't be medicated trying to be happy. Seek God. Submit to God. Submit to His will. And the other thing, too, I got some feedback, and I have to agree with this. I was in my upbringing 20 years of hell. Now, you say a Bible verse, wave a magic Bible verse, instantly I'm healed. Yes, I agree with that. Not instantly, though. Not instantly. I believe the Bible will cure all that's ailing you. But I think it's a process. We're all growing, and none of us have arrived, and we're all on that process. But I do believe in this word, and I do, and no apologies for that. But I don't want to think, like, you know, your husband was abusive to you for 5 years. I say a Bible verse, you know, about forgiveness, and all of a sudden you forgive, and all those bad feelings magically go away. I don't want you to understand that or think like that. But we, at the end of the day, we're still going to have to forgive. You do understand that. So the Bible's true. No apologies. That's what we're teaching. We're going to teach the Bible all the time. So I'm not saying, and I don't want you to feel overly condemned about medication or anything like that. The only problem is I think everyone wants to be the exception, and I don't think everyone is the exception. Like I say, we're talking to the wife, right? Submit yourself to your husband. Well, my husband, he's an idiot. Idiot doesn't qualify for you being the exception, by the way. You see what I'm saying? Everyone wants to be the exception. And are there exceptions? Well, there certainly are in a lot of things. Now, let's jump into, Philippians chapter 4. We'll start in 2 Corinthians 9. Adam, what do you think about the tithe? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Verse 6, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You planted 100 tomato plants. You're going to have some tomatoes this year. You're going to throw them at cars just to get rid of them. You planted a tomato plant, you'll have some tomatoes. No, nobody's arguing that point. Everyone says, yeah, I see that. Well, he's talking about sowing and reaping here, and he's talking about spiritual sowing and spiritual reaping, and he likens it to regular farming. Every man, according as he hath purposeth in his heart. Don't let the King James obscure that. Every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give. Does that say anything about tenth to you? Not me. So let him give. Not grudgingly. Oh, you always hit me up for money. How come you always... Keep your money. Buy a pizza. I don't... Yeah. Not grudgingly. If you get it grudgingly, don't give it. Or of necessity. Well, it's something I got to do. It's my responsibility. It's I got to. No. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Listen, happy to do it. Thank you, Jesus. You've supplied me with a job. We're doing good. You've met all my needs. I'd love to bless you with a check. That's the attitude. If you don't have that attitude, you keep it, okay? Now, I'm going to talk about money. Now, let's go over to Philippians. Paul's doing this weird little kabuki dance here. He's saying, it sounds like he's like, hey, thanks for the gift. Not that I needed a gift, mind you, but I appreciate it anyway. But I don't really appreciate it. I mean, it's good to your account. And he does this kind of like, and so when I'm talking to you this morning, I'm going to be doing the same weird little kabuki dance. Because when we talk about funds, we talk about giving and stuff like that, people get awful nervous. Oh, you're just one of them. I knew it. I knew if I hung around here long enough, you'd talk about giving. I knew if I hung around here long enough, you'd hit me up for some money. Listen, nobody's going to hit you up for anything. We're not that church. But I want to tell you what the Bible tells you about money. Okay? And no apologies for that, but I will tell you this. We've done it a little bit differently around here. Why? We don't pass the hat. Why? Because a lot of people have ruined it. When Paul's writing this, there were no TV televangelists. There were no people hawking you for money all the time on the air, 24/7. Oh, if you don't give, we're going under. I always think, just go under. Just close the doors. Stop misrepresenting God. People think he's some beggar. People think he's been bad with his funds. He's going to have to declare chapter 11 and stuff like that. And I hate that. And I don't want to be that church. So we've kind of done things just a little bit different, just so you know that we're not that kind of church. We don't pass the hat. Listen, if we did, I guarantee you, giving would be up. People feel pressured when the basket comes around. Even if they don't want to give, they'll put something in because it's like peer pressure. And we know that people would give more if we passed the hat. So why don't you pass the hat? Because we're not about people giving more. We're not about your money. Listen, I got to tell you, before I even start here, you're a visitor here. If you're not a Christian and you're thinking about the things of God, put your checkbook down. Put the pen down, back away slowly. Do not write out a check. We do not want your money in any way, shape, or form. We're a very generous church because we reflect a very generous God, and we want to pick up the tab for you to be here. We are not asking for your money. And a bad thing could happen. Someone comes in here and they have a religious background, like me, right? Giving equals points that I'm going to cash in later for salvation. I don't ever want you to think that way. Put your check away, because you're not going to be any closer to heaven at the end of the sermon. If you write out a check, big fat one, you are no closer to going to heaven than you were before you wrote the check out. And I want you to know that. I want you to understand that. So people who are visitors, people who are religious, people who are just coming to see what's going on here, we're happy to have you. We love you. We're not after your money. I just want you to understand that. Now, let's get right to it. Verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Except for those last three verses, the sign-off there, that's all about giving. Let's look at it. Let's unpack it. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at your last your care of me hath flourished again. You were very careful. You cared about this a lot, but you didn't have the opportunity. But now they send Epaphroditus with a love gift, with money. Philippians is not a wealthy city. They're very poor. But they give. By the way, I found that almost, I don't understand it. Seems the more you have, the less you're likely to give. Now you're saying, well, wait a second, shut up. I'm very wealthy and I give abundantly. I wouldn't know that. And by the way, if I stepped on your toes, I don't mean to. I mean, I really don't mean to. If you're very generous here, I wouldn't know. Say, well, why wouldn't you? I don't have anything to do with the collection. Nothing at all. There's a basket in back. I don't count the money. I don't know who gives. I don't know if you've I don't know if you've given tens of thousands of dollars. I don't know if you've given 10 cents. I don't know. And we set it up that way at the beginning. Me and Ron said, listen, I don't have to... I'm not touching it. I'm not spending it. I like you. I make a check out and I put it in like everybody else. I don't collect a salary. I do. I collect a salary in my alter ego, my mild mannered. When I'm not here doing this, I work for a company for which I'm both I think appreciated and well compensated. And right now, I'm tent making. I don't have to do this for a living, and I'm very thankful to God. This isn't about me getting rich. So I can sit here and talk about money without saying, like, you know, Ron told me if I get up, you know, giving up another 10%, he's going to give me a raise. Nothing like that. Nothing like that. Haven't had my first paycheck yet. I'd like that to continue forever. We'll see. It may be that this church will grow to such a place where I have to do this full time to maintain the ministry. I may have to do this all the time. Right now, I consider two full time jobs. But it's okay. I'm not saying that for your guilt. I'm just trying to talk to you. I'm saying this from a pure heart. I don't know how much you give. I don't want to know. I never ask. He never tells. Okay, so when I say these things, but I will say this. It just seems like poor people are just making it by, just keeping the nose above water. They're givers. People who have affluence, this is what I've known, what I've just seen over the years. The people who have plenty generally keep their plenty. But here's a poor city, because it's not about rich and poor. Because you're thinking here, you're saying like, you know, if I had more money, I'd give more money. I'm saying it doesn't work that way. And it really doesn't work that way. Jesus tells a parable. He goes away. He says the steward gives five talents, and he gives two talents, and he gives one talent. And the guy with five talents, he makes another five besides. Talents is a huge amount of money, okay? And he makes five besides. And Jesus says, you've done really good. I really appreciate that. I put my money in a smart place because you doubled it. That was good. And the guy with the two, he goes out and makes another two. I might have the numbers wrong, as the story goes. It doesn't really matter for our points. And so the guy with the one buries it in the ground. I knew you. You're a hard man. You sow where you reap where you haven't sowed. You collect where you haven't strawed. Basically, he just calls him a thief, and he says he knows him. Obviously, he doesn't know him at all, because the steward is the landowner, the guy who gives out the money is Jesus Christ in the parable. So he doesn't know him at all. Jesus says, I'm going to judge you. You're lazy, you're wicked, I'm going to judge you out of your own mouth. You say you know me, huh? You say that I collect where I haven't sown. You could have at least put it in the bank. So he takes the one, he says, here's your money back, without any interest. He takes it from him and gives it to the 10. They said, Lord, he already has 10. I know, but when you put your money in a retirement account, you're putting the one that's paying a lot or the one that's paying a little. You take out the one that's losing money. You got mutual funds or something like that, or money market or something, or precious metals. You take it out of that and you put it in the one that's making all the money, don't you? Does anyone say, well, that's not fair? What about that? Jesus is the same way. He's going to be putting his money in the one where he's going to get the best rate of return. Don't you see that? Now, I stole this off a guy I heard. He's talking about his kids, and he says, okay, I send one in the store, $20, right? I need bread, I need milk, I need eggs. This kid comes back, he's got lollipops, he's got ice cream, he's got cookies, he's got gumdrops and licorice. Where's my bread? Where's my eggs? Where's my milk? Oh, you didn't give me enough. Okay, here's another $20. Can I get some milk? Can I get some bread? Can I get some eggs? Comes back, more gumdrops, more candy, more gum, more garbage, more swill. He's like, all right, listen, we got to have a problem here. I'm giving you my money, and I want you to bring back some return. I want bread. I want milk. I want eggs. So the third time he sends it, he comes back, and he's got a loaf of bread, and he's got more candy. Eventually, isn't he going to give the money to another son who, instead of paying $60 for a loaf of bread, isn't he going to get a better rate on his return? So it's not poor or rich. If you, because the Bible tells us in another place, if you're trusted with a little and you use a little well, he'll trust you with more. Because you're waiting. You think, when I make more, I'll give. Never works out that way. It just doesn't. It just doesn't. It just doesn't. Why is he going to trust you with a lot? You can't make do with a little. You can't do right with a little, is the idea. Now, these Philippians, they have a little, and they're very, very generous. I want you to understand stewardship, and I want you to understand generosity. We talk about generous a lot here because why we're not begging is because we don't reflect a beggar God. Why we want to be very generous is reflect a generous God. We're not affluent here, I'll say that. But God's been very good to us. And we don't, like, we'll do things like, you know, you want a recording anytime? You don't pay for that. You know what I mean? We don't charge for anything. We just want to be giving. We send like people to East Coast Pastors Conference. Oh, I don't know if I budgeted the money out. Budget? We're going to take care of that. We want you to go and learn about God and study and come back and bless us. We're picking up the tab. We've always been the pick up the tab church. We're not after your money. I don't know how else to say it. Not that I speak in respect of want. Here's the way he's doing this weird little dance with them. Thanks. I really appreciate it, guys. Not that I needed it, though. And that's exactly what he's saying. Not that I speak in respect of want. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, have you learned that secret? I hope you have. I haven't been wealthy yet, but I've sure been poor, and I do okay. I don't want anyone to. This is all about. Oh, Adam's, he's hurting. We gotta do something. No, stop. You wrote my check. I wouldn't accept it. I put it in the offering. It's not about that. I have been poor, and I learned how to make ends meet, and I learned how to praise God. And even then, we were giving. Okay, even then. Now we don't hurt. We don't really. Things are good. Good job. Everything's fine. Bills, don't really have them. As we get old and more established, the bills go away. The saving rises. You know how like a lot of people. The kids aren't little kids anymore. You know, you get into middle management or something like this. It's not like the big thing, the big treat in the week is McDonald's like it used to be. You know how, yeah, you remember. Not that I speak in respect of want. I've learned whatever state I am, I get it. I'm where God wants me to be. I can abound, I can have just a little bit. It's okay, it's all the same. Thanks, but I'm okay, is what he's saying. I want to tell you something. When you give here, thanks, but we're okay. And I don't say I'm, because like I say, I'm not receiving. Thank you on behalf of the Lord. I don't say it. I mean, God appreciates your faithfulness. I'm sure he does. I can tell you this. I know who I've come to believe in. He sees a glass of cold water given in Jesus' name, and he's registering that. He marks that down. He remembers that. I know wherever stand I am, there with to be content. Now, we talk about riches, we talk about wealth. Look, we're the envy of the world still. I talk about, you know, guys who have money. Everyone who has money always wants to pretend they don't have any. It's so funny. And if you ask, how much do you want, how much do you need, how much would you be content with? And the same answer is just a little bit more all the time. You know, I know I drive the Lexus, but I'd really like a Mercedes. When I got there, I'd be so happy. That's how we are. We got the Cadillac, but we really want the Lexus. We want to move up one, just one more, just one little bit more. At some point, you're going to say, God is good. I'm doing okay. Thank you, Lord, for whatever you have. Because, listen, maybe your bills are tight right now. Maybe you've economically depressed. There's a lot of that out there. I don't see anyone here starving. And I don't mean to be glib. I mean, God's good. You know, we do okay. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You surprised to find that verse here? Because I know I've heard it quoted a lot. And by the way you quote it, fine. God bless you. But in context, and I want to keep it in context for right now, I can abound, I can have it all, I can have it none, or somewhere in between like most of us, and it's all good. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whatever you got for me, Lord. Prison, head chopped off, chain of this guard here, whatever you got for me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We say it like God's will never take us where God's love can't keep us. We say it a few different ways, but we're saying it the same thing, basically. I want to do what God's called me to do, and I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't lend itself to sin. I can knock over this bank, praise God, because Jesus gives me the strength. That's an abomination. It obviously doesn't mean anything silly and stupid like that. Does it mean I can do great endeavors? Every world-class Christian athlete has quoted this verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What about the guy who came in second place, though? You know what I mean? I don't know if it actually lends itself to that, but what God has called me to do, he strengthens me to do it. We ask you to teach Sunday school or something, and you shrink back. I could never. I like those I could never people a little bit, because the first initial thing is like they're saying, in and of my own strength, I could never do that. I like that about you. That's a good thing. Yes, I'm glad you finally understood how capable I am. I've been telling it for a long time. No, 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 we don't like that person there. We don't want that person serving. But then once you get past that initial, I can't do it, and you look to Christ who strengthens us, and you say, well, I can with God's help. That's exactly right. That's a good application of this verse. Again, in context, I can do all things with Christ who strengthens me means I know how to be abased and know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry. It's all the same with me. It's all good. Right in the middle of God's will, both to abound and suffer need, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done, and ye did communicate with my affliction. I still appreciate it, guys. After having said all that, I did appreciate the gift. You do understand that. That's what he's saying. Now, ye Philippians, you know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me. Isn't that a remarkable thing? Look at, he established churches all over the empire, and some of them were in very wealthy cities like Corinth, like Ephesus. They were rolling in cabbage. And did they help him out? No. Did Philippi? Yeah, Philippi is a poor city. That's an amazing thing. Would you, back in the day, you're a patron of the church of Ephesus, and you're doing really good. Wouldn't you love to have written out a check? Pay to the order of the Apostle Paul. Isn't that kind of a good thing? They missed the opportunity, not the Philippians. As a matter of fact, they're the only ones. Ye Philippians, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Now, no doubt, if the Philippians didn't give to Paul, God would have helped him from another quarter. He would have raised up somebody else to meet Paul's needs. No doubt. Paul, several times in his ministry, worked. We have that phrase we call tent making, because he was a tent maker, and he worked a lot of times to supplement his own ministry. He worked all day till midday making tents, and then he rented the school of Tyrannus out of his own money, and he taught Bible all afternoon for several years in Ephesus. How's that? That's a man who's like, hey, I'll do this for free. I'll work and I'll support my own ministry. I like that. Even in Thessalonica, he sent once and again unto my necessity. Now he swings back the other way. Not that I desire a gift. Oh, it's not that I needed it. Not that I wanted a gift. I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Listen, when you give here, I do the happy monkey dance. I don't even know who it is, because we've got this anonymous thing going. I'm happy that you're a giving church, that fruit may abound to your account. You have to understand that. Listen, have you ever heard the phrase, you ever heard anyone say, he's got more money than God? You ever heard anyone say that? Does God get a lot of money? Not paper dollars. Is he wealthy? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he spoke the world into existence. How much is the world worth? People say about a decillion dollars. You say, a decillion, I don't know decillion. It's a million, it's a billion, it's a trillion, right? Quadrillion, quintillion. Say, really? Yeah. Sixzillion, septillion, octillion, novillion, decillion. That's how much the world is worth. Now, a million. How much is a million seconds? 5 days, he says. How much is a billion seconds? 32 years. 32 years. Is there a difference between a million and a billion? It's 1,000 units. A billion is 1,000 millions. You understand that, right? Okay? Now, trillion, because trillion's an interesting number. We don't have any trillionaires on the earth that I know about. We have $1 trillion of debt. How much is a trillion? 32,000 years. If a second is a dollar, $1 million is 5 days, $1 billion is 32 years, 32 seconds, I mean, and 32 years, if let me say it again, if a billion seconds, right, is 32 years, and a trillion seconds is 32,000 years, okay? 32,000, big number, okay? Now, we haven't got quadrillion, quintillion, That's a big, 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 big number. If the earth is worth a decillion dollars, how come every man, woman, and child on the earth isn't like a quadrillionaire several times over? We could be. Laziness, indifference to people's plight. When Jesus comes back, you going to have money? I don't think so. Paper money? I don't think so. You're going to have wealth? Listen, every man under his vine, under his fig tree. It's talking about stability. It's talking about planting and reaping and having plenty. You think you'll starve? You think there'll be starvation when Jesus returns? I'm not so sure. I'm not thinking so. I think when he has it the way he wants it, everyone's going to be blessed and everyone's going to have plenty. In the interim, I desire, it's not that I desire a gift, but I do desire that fruit may abound to your account. Now, if this God is so wealthy, does he need your money? No. No. If everyone here stopped giving, I'm not threatened. You got to give. You got to give. We're going to close the church down. No, you got to give. You got to give. Have I ever said anything like that? Ever? I wouldn't. Because I understand God. If you didn't give, he'd raise it from another quarter. He sent us here, and he's going to do what he's going to do. I'll tell you why I never did it, because if I would have done it, I would have done it by now. We bought this building, and maybe you don't know, me and Ron don't have $300,000, okay? So the guy on the hill there, I hope you meet him sometime. We're going to invite him down here. Sir Charles, we call him. Good guy. He's financed. It's $3,000 a month, okay? And that was with a very small percentage. We're going to have it paid in under 11 years. We've paid over a year, okay? And every beginning of every month, here you go, three large, and he's happy, and he's said, oh, I love that place. You guys are the only ones who ever pay on time. Really good, very happy, and everything's going great. And so here we are. We're supporting some ministries. We're doing good. We're helping out. We're putting a lot of gifts here and here and here. You want to know where those your money goes to? It's a very, very reasonable question. Ask Ron, and he will give you a printout, every nickel we've ever had. He shows where it's spent. No embarrassment. We're very good with other people's money. Because we're not like the government, right? Other people's money. They spend money like a drunken sailor, you know, just throw billions. We're not them, okay? We pray over who we're going to support. We pray where money goes. We try to be very, very generous. And I think we glorify God. And I think we're really good stewards with those things. So here we are, given the $3,000 a month until December last year. Wow, the December to remember. Attendance wasn't down, giving was way down. For the first time, it's January's rent comes, and we don't have the money. Oh, so embarrassed. Somebody's going to call Charles and tell him, Charles, old boy, seems like we don't have the money. That was, guess whose job stuff like that is, okay? So Ron's great. He gets to take him out to lunch, give him money every month, and, you know, hey, here's your and stuff. Me, when it's short, that's my job. That's fine. It goes with the territory. So I call him up. It's January 1st, and I'm working. January 1st of this year. It's a Sunday, and I'm working. Had to work a shutdown, and somebody else spoke, and so I called up, and I said, how are we doing? He goes, we're light. I said, oh, nifty. So I called Charles, and thankfully, I got his voicemail. I said, listen, I don't know what to tell you. I'm super embarrassed. We don't have the money. Did I tell you guys about that? No. No, because I don't want you to ever think that I'm twisting arms or that my hope or my confidence is in you. I told God. He knew the problem. We were about 3 weeks late. Isn't that right, Ron? We didn't catch up in February. February 1st rolled around, and we were still short because we pay in a month in advance. We pay before the month for the next month. And February, it was like about 2 weeks over, and I think either March was on time or about a week over. He's nodding. March was on time. So by the time of March, we'd come out of our tailspin. and we've been paying them on time ever since. And all the bills, everything's paid up to date. We have money in the bank. We're doing good. God will take care of us. We've always felt that way. If you don't give, he'll take care of us. I'm not worried about that. But it's not that I desire a gift. It's not that I desire. It's not that I want. It's not that I didn't want to make that call. I will tell you that. But other than that, it's not me. It's not about me. I'm not desiring a gift. I don't want anything from you. You need to be faithful to God. Does God need your money? He does not. Do you need to be faithful to God? You do. You absolutely do. And I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I know how he is. He blesses. I always say this wrong. Because there's a guy out there who says, you know, you give and with a seed of faith, and you're going to get back 100-fold and 1,000-fold, and I'm not that guy. God will do what God's going to do. You may go through some really financial tough times. God is not a pinata that you whack with a stick called faith and Tootsie Rolls fall out of the sky. I rebuke that teaching. That is ungodly and it is wicked. People just do that and they're just appealing to your greed. Well, if you give this ministry, God will sevenfold, 1,000-fold, 1,007-fold, and they just want to just, and I just fold up all, just, how do they know? How do they know what God's going to do? I do know this. God's faithful. I told you a story where I was working at a woolen mill. I was making $80 a week. Back in the day, I believed in tithes. So the first $8 went to the Lord. Happy to do it. And I figure I'm so desperately poor anyway, this can't hurt. Was God, did we starve? No. Did we get way behind in bills? Oh, yeah. You try to make $80 a week and see how that works. Did God dig me out? Was he faithful? Was he good? Was he generous? He's a wonderful God. I needed my account. I needed to make some deposits in my account. Did he need my $8? Not so much. Not so much. So I'm communicating that to you, and I'm communicating that to you from a pure motive. I don't want your money. Don't need your money. Thank you. It's not because I desire a gift, but I do desire fruit to abound to your account. I really do desire that. I want you to do well. I want you to give to God. I want you to experience what it is to give sacrificially, to be a good steward. But I have all. I didn't desire the gift. Thanks, I didn't desire it. And I have all. I'm okay. I'm doing good. I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. How does Paul look at that? Look at the wording here. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Those are worship words. That's like when the priest burned the sacrifice, right? God would say, you know how it is when you're barbecuing. The whole neighborhood is blessed. I just drive by, I'm like, oh, yes, yes. That's the words here, that's the language. You know what you're giving to God is? God goes, is he benefited? Not really. I mean, he's God. He's just, he just is. But he likes it. He's it's a sacrifice. It's acceptable. He's not saying it's well-pleasing to me, Paul. He's saying it's well-pleasing to God. Your giving, your sacrificial giving, you're going to be doing with less, is well-pleasing to God. Does God, I write out a check and God's blessed? Yeah. Yeah. It's an odor to him. It's like, oh, I love that. Take it for what it's worth. Yeah, but Adam, you don't understand. I'm trying to make ends meet. I'm trying to do this. I'm a poor little, I'm a student. I don't have money. I don't have income. Well, you can't give what you don't have. Okay, he's not talking about that. And I haven't thrown 10% at you, have I? You give what you can do. I mean, you do what you can do. You can't do what you can't do. I will say, don't wait till you're wealthy, because I don't think you'll get wealthy that way. I would say, like I did, you know, that $8, I think that was to God. He knew what that cost us. And he said, that's a faithful man. I can trust him. He'll do good financially. He won't spend it all on himself. Never wanted to be that guy. When the money came in, when God blessed me, yeah, my standard of living increased. So did my standard of giving. Because not only did the percentage, 10% of $100 is $10. 10% of $1,000 is $100. You see what I'm saying? Not only did that numerically go up, but the percentage went up too. And I'm trying to say anything, because I'm not trying to blow my own horn, but I understood this. God, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If I make out the check, I'll have less. Relax. Deep breaths. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. According to, not out of. He's very, very wealthy. He gives you stuff, and he doesn't even have less. How do you figure that? Because he gets so much. Will my God supply all your need? Yes. But what if the economy starts moving sideways and it starts tanking and I lose my job? Will God supply all your needs? Yes. Will he supply all your greeds? No. And you gotta determine that. You say, well, I work hard. And I do pretty good. And so I think I deserve a vacation. I'm not arguing the point. Should I take my vacation here in Maine? Or because I really want to go to Tahiti. Listen, you come up here and you ask me these things. I'll pray about it with you, but you can pray yourself. The Spirit of God will lead you and guide you. Is it a sin to go to Tahiti? No. Is it a sin to have a nice car, nice home? No. I want you to give so you're right on the brink of poverty all the time. I'm not saying that. I'm really, really not. Do you pray about your purchases? Not after the fact. Oh, God, help me pay for this new car. I can't believe I did. I mean, do you pray before? Will God guide you in purchases? Yeah. Will he bring deals in your life? Yeah. Do you pray about your giving? Lord, I'd really like to give this much. I purpose in my heart, as 2 Corinthians says, to joyfully give this much. Do you pray about that? I would suggest you do. You're stuck on 10%? I don't care. You can find Bible verses and you can do that. It'll make you a bad guy. I just want to give 5%. Hallelujah. I don't know and I don't care. And you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow. Because the other question comes, should I tithe on the net or the gross? I don't care. I don't know. I mean, really, you want to get blessed on the net or the gross? You and God work out the details. But you should give to God. You need that. You need to be faithful. And we don't need your money. God doesn't need your money. I just want to emphasize that. This isn't... I'm just teaching the Bible. I'm not guilting in anything. I'm going to call Ron later. Is that the biggest offering ever? I hope it's not. I hope you go home prayerfully. Think about this. I hope you're not moved by emotion. Emotion's stupid. It comes and goes. We don't do what emotion tells us to do. We do what the Word of God tells us to do. Now, isn't this all just so much religion, so much legalism? Oh, please. Now, unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Listen, it's all about grace. I want you to understand that. It's all about grace. That's why it's not religion at all. That's why we don't want you to give checks if you're not saved. It's not, nothing here has got to do with anything, got to do with religion or giving or anything like that. It's all about grace. If God hasn't been generous to you, and he has, he's given us life, he's given us strength, he's given us jobs, he's given us his son, then I gave because he gave to me first. And if you haven't understood that, again, put your checkbook away. Now, I want you to understand one more principle, okay? I've said this several times now. He doesn't need us. Doesn't need you, doesn't need us. I want to talk about Mike, my son here. And this may embarrass him, but that will just be the bonus for me, okay? He's a blue-collar guy. He's very capable with tools with his hands. He's very, very good. Suze tells me that when I have a job to do, when I open the toolbox, she doesn't call him. And I have to believe her, she's a godly woman. But he mysteriously shows up. I don't know if he has some sensor in the lid of my toolbox. When I crack it a little bit, he drives into the driveway. I don't know how it works, okay? And he used to be my helper. When he's a little guy, he wasn't so helpful. Okay, now he's my helper, and helper means this. It means I hold the flashlight. You need another coffee there, son? Oh, I'll get you another coffee. Okay, so that's how he helps me, okay, now. But when he was a little guy, he always wanted to help me out, but he wasn't very helpful. So I'm painting some steps, okay? Micah wants to help. Oh, nifty. Okay, son, here's the paint. Here's a brush. Did he paint the steps? He got a little paint on the steps. I had to repaint him. It wasn't on the pot that I wanted the paint on, but he splashed some paint up there. He did okay. And he painted the bush and the grass and the cat. And he had this like 4-inch paintbrush, and he was holding it like this, and it was all dripping down his leg. And it got into his sneaker where it congealed around his toes. Now, he took this one-hour job, and he turned it into a three-hour debacle. Micah, helping. Thanks for your help, Mike. I appreciate it. So why do you think I let him help? It didn't bless me. When he was halfway through painting, I said, honey, this is great. Let's have 5 more kids. We'll get the whole house painted. I can't believe how wonderful this is. Why did I let him paint? It didn't really bless me at all. It blessed him a lot. If you asked him, he's 3 or 4, right? If you asked him at the time, you helping daddy? Yeah. And he's probably thinking, it's a good thing I'm here. You know, help dad. We'll get this thing done. Us men painting, okay? No, I had to redo everything he did. I had to get turpentine after the cat. It was a mess. The whole thing was just, it was not good. It took an easy job, made it into a very hard job. Why do I do that? I want to bless him. Of course, he's my son. He wants to be helpful. Now, what are you talking about, Adam? Why are you telling me this story? I think it's the same with God. Does he need us? No. He took this earth, with the decillion dollar earth, remember? And he spoke it into existence. When he paved the streets of heaven with gold, did he use us then? No. Does he want to use us now? Yes. Are we helpful? No, I don't think so. I don't think we are. I really don't think. I think it's like Mike when he's a little kid. Oh, he's very helpful now. But at that time, I don't think so. So why does he let us help? He wants to bless us. He wants to see people come to the Savior. He wants us to be part of the process. He wants to be yoked up together with us. Does he need us? No. Does he need our money? No. Do we need to be faithful? I think so. I really think so. If you guys all say, forget it, I ain't giving, that's fine. I'll just keep talking to God about it. He'll take care of us. He really will. You want to be part of the process? We always give that opportunity. Now, we don't pass the hat. We're not going to do that. There's a box in the back. You write a check. CC of KV, Calvary Chapel, anything like that. And at the end of the year, you get a tax deductible, a receipt that's, because we're a tax deductible organization, you'll be able to claim that on your taxes. And by the way, that's another reason not to give. It's just a benefit that I want you to enjoy. And that's how we'll do it. Will we change? I don't know. I don't know. The Spirit of God moves in my heart to say, yes, stop passing the hat. I hope that never happens, frankly. Will I receive a salary? I don't know. I can't tell the future. I hope not. My heart is I want to be able to look you right in the eye and say, you need to be faithful. Not because you're benefiting me. Our money's going to missions. Yeah, we pay for the bill and we pay for the lights, pay for the heat in the winter. Yeah, those things are obvious. They got to be paid for. As we expand, as we grow, as we buy supplies, all the work is donated. We haven't really paid hardly anybody for anything as far as work being done. And we'll keep trying to do that. We'll keep trying to do our commitment to you is we're going to spend money prayerfully. Because listen, you get any chance, anytime you get a chance to look at the books, we want to be able to give a good acquitting, a good accounting of ourselves. We want to be able to look you right now and say, yeah, we needed to buy that. It was going. This guy had a comment. He had. You know what I mean? It's all open. Everything's above board. Not our money. Nobody's hiding anything. Nobody's pilfering anything. I want you to be able to give with confidence. Why? Because God needs it. Please help him out. He's about to file chapter 11. No, because we need to be faithful. That's the whole thing. That's the whole message. With that, we close the book of Philippians. Next week, we'll be in 1 Thessalonians. You say you're skipping Colossians. No, we're going to take that up Wednesday night. Let's stand. We'll pray. Matthew, with his new guitar string, is going to come and bless us and send us out of here singing. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this word. I think, Lord, that I'm not speaking to a room full of contentious people. I think they understand, I think they get it, Lord, that we're not a money church. We're never going to be. Help us, Lord, to keep our focus, to worship you with our giving, to make it an opportunity whereby we can say, Lord, thank you for giving so much to me. Here's a small portion of what you've given. We praise and thank you for being such a generous, such a good, such a gracious God. You gave first. And Lord, help those, if there is anyone contentious, help them understand, Lord, I mean what I say. Don't want your money. I don't want to be people go off from this place and say, oh yeah, they're all about money there. Lord, we're just going to keep teaching Scripture. No apologies there. And just bless this word, Lord, that we might take it to heart and act appropriately and accordingly to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.